This is the archives meeting, and it's approximately 8:58 Eastern Standard Time.
And no. Yes, it is.
Right.
Sorry.
So shall I take roll?
Oh, that would be great.
Sar Randhawa.
He is hopefully on his way.
Present.
Bonnie Simmons.
Present.
Don White. Sherna Gluck. Madeline Schwab.
Present.
Patty Heffley. Steve Brown.
Present.
Michael Tarif Warren. Teresa Allen is here. Melinda Eiley Doan.
Here.
Thank you. Phil Jackson.
Present.
A.C. Bird. Kalonji Alasagun.
Here.
Thank you. I did not hear A.C. Dan Logan. I do not hear Dan.
Did you get Steve Brown? I'm not sure if I'm on or off.
I'm sorry?
Teresa, did you get Steve Brown? I'm not sure if I'm on or off.
Yes, I did hear Steve Brown. Ryan DeShazer.
Here.
Thank you, Ryan. And Rip Robbins. Okay, so we have...
And Addie Gevins.
I'm sorry?
Addie Gevins.
And Addie. Thank you, Addie. Thank you very much, Brian. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people here on the call. 8 board members.
We're still one short, right? Because Addie, John, and Brian don't count.
No, wait. Teresa, Phil, Melinda, Jane, Madeline, Steve, Kalonji, Bonnie. Isn't that 8?
Yes, there are 8. 8 board members.
So we are good.
Okay, let's go.
It is the archives meeting. And I just moved that to get the agenda. Hold on one second. I'm so sorry. Sorry, guys. Okay. What I had down here for a... Hello? Hello?
Go ahead. We're here.
Can we just come on? What I had down here for the agenda was roll call. Then I would like to discuss the secretarial position for the committee. Who might be willing to do it next, as we were doing a rotating secretarial position on this committee? And if anybody would kindly take notes. And were you willing to do that, Teresa?
I'm willing to do it this time, but I really feel that this is an unsatisfactory arrangement. So maybe someone else would offer, because I've been told that you have some sort of format, which is really not my...
You follow the agenda and just take notes on each agenda item. And the main thing that I did last month that I thought was good is if it was an agenda item that called for some action to be taken before going to the next agenda item, find out who's going to do what. So that's included in the minutes as a reminder. But it's very straightforward, and I suspect Don will be willing to do it next time because he missed this time.
Yeah, he emailed me and said that he would try to get on the call if his plane landed in a timely fashion.
So we'll just assign him for next time.
I think that's a really fair thing to do since he's not on.
Right.
Yeah, that'll teach him to be on time.
That'll teach him to be on a plane.
Anyway, this is Teresa Allen. I will take minutes.
Thank you very much, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa.
Approving the agenda is obviously necessary in there. Then approving the minutes from June 26th, which I had attached to today's email, as well as to the email I sent out as a reminder last week. And then I thought that Brian and Addie hopefully would report. We could have a discussion about the upcoming archive fundraising days, which are not until November, but that's going to come up sooner than any of us imagine. The continued discussion of the From the Vault series. I would love it if Brian would give an update on the Pete Seeger special progress, because I think that that's going to be good and exciting news for everybody. We do have here a discussion of the educational work group, which
I'm
is
a little bit confused. These things are not on the agenda that I'm looking
for. Who's this?
This is Teresa.
I just sent it to you a minute ago. Is that the one you got?
It says draft agenda.
Correct.
Okay, I will look again. Thank you very much. Okay, now I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry. One thing that is something that we need to figure out, under five, I have a discussion also of the development work group, which is the renaming of the financial work group that we had set up a few months ago. And I am hoping that we will be able to recruit a few more people from this committee to be on the development work group so that we can actually get something going on there. And finally, I did put an item under new business to discuss the next PNB meeting vis-a-vis the Archives Committee, as the meeting is going to be here in Berkeley. And Brian and I had talked about that briefly. Anybody got any other items?
Yes, this is Jane. My item of the move, and I think I heard Addie talking about move before we convened.
This is Bonnie. My understanding was that would be something that we would begin to talk about in the development work group.
I believe that's correct, Bonnie. The money raising for capital campaign so that we can get a building is what is now entitled the development group something something. The first step that really has to happen, I think, is to meet with Greg to talk about what we actually need and what we can actually do with permission from National Office.
Does anyone have any other items or changes to this?
This is Teresa. I would like, I do not see when would be the best time to discuss this, but didn't the PNB approve a cataloger position for the archive last year? And I'd like to ask how that's coming along.
It's posted on the archives website. Quickly, it's posted on the archives website. It was sent out for the stations to...
We're trying to approve the agenda. Can we just put this on the agenda?
How's that, Brian?
I don't want to waste any time by answering. Let's do it.
Where would you like to put it, Teresa?
Let's put it under new business.
Okay.
Item number two.
Shall we make it number two under new business?
Yeah, just like on report on cataloger situation.
Okay. Any other additions or... movement on this agenda, and if not, let's have someone come up with a motion to approve it.
I'll move to approve. It's Madeline.
So new business will be item six, and then there are two items under new business.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, I kind of wrote it the other way, but that's fine. So we have a motion to approve the agenda. Do I hear any objection to approving the agenda as it stands? Hearing none, we are approved. And Teresa is kindly taking notes tonight until Don White either joins us or he'll have to take notes the next time if he's unable to do that tonight. So we are now at approving the minutes from June 26th, which were attached to the email today.
Not as an attachment, but in the body.
Correct, yeah. We did decide...
Do we have any objections to approving the minutes?
Hearing no objection, I believe we are approving minutes of 6:26. And we are, in lightning fashion, already at reports from Brian and Addie. The things that I have here are upcoming archives fundraising days, continuing discussion of From the Vault and the Pete Seeger special.
Okay. One, fundraising days. We're still trying to work it out with the stations on which days are appropriate. The stations are sort of scrambling with scheduling their fundraising, their sort of fall fund drives. So we're trying to get the exact right week confirmed for everybody. So I'm working with Phil at National Office to work that out. And other than that, we are getting, you know, gearing ourselves up for it and talking about plans and how much we can actually do. The goal for this year is $280,000.
Yes.
So far it's been, you know, it's a lot. Last year, $100,000 of that was in direct mail campaign, which did not go very successfully this year. So we decided not to do that and try to put our eggs in the fundraising basket on air. So the CFO, Lonnie, just sort of duplicated what we did last year, which was $140,000 in 15 hours, and just sort of, you know, did a double math and thinks that we can do a two-day drive and make double the money, which is not really that realistic. So we're still having discussions with stations about what is feasible and what we can do to best reach our goal. So that's the stage is where we are with the fund drives.
So the goal right now is $280K, a two-day drive.
That's the formula right now, yes.
Okay.
And what I have to figure out is how to do it.
Uh-huh. May I ask a question? How much are we making from premiums from the Pacifica stations, and how much are we making from premium sales to affiliates?
If you give me 3 minutes, I'll be able to pull that up for you.
Okay.
Anyone have other questions for Brian about the upcoming archive fundraising days?
I've got a question about what we mean by how much are we making.
What's the question?
What do you mean by how much are we making from premium?
How much net profit are we making from premiums? Because
we don't make any profit.
We don't get any.
So are you saying that when you count the materials from the archives,
And
you count
stations for premium?
Yes. Do we not bill the stations for premiums?
We do.
Okay. And are you saying we never make profit from it?
No, we never say the word profit because we're a nonprofit.
Yes.
That's what that means. So I can tell you right now, in this year, October 05 to September 30th, 06, this is looking at between October and June, as of June, KPFA, we have billed $6,000 in premiums, KPFK, $11,000, WBAI, $14,000.
Wait a minute. Start again. KPFA.
This is October 5th through June of 06. This is $6,400 from KPFA. This is the. Can someone turn down that music?
Phone.
Or mute yourself?
For life.
All right. So I guess, you know, before I give you the, you know, the exact number, this is information that is available to you. But I do kind of want to know what the purpose of the question is. If you're writing actually down numbers.
Well, I guess I'm trying to determine if there is a way that we can make selling premiums profitable. And I know that we're a nonprofit, but
right.
I'm trying to figure out whether we're actually losing money for every premium that we sell.
Very good thought. Because, you know, calculating how much it actually costs to create one,
mm-hmm.
that's something that several times historically we've attempted to do, and it's astonishingly difficult.
All right, so let's get back to the just the real numbers. Over total, so the five stations this year so far, and this is not including this past fund drive. We haven't had the orders yet from the stations. Let's see, KPFA is 6,400. KPFK is 11,700. WBAI, 14,100. WPFW, 6,300. KPFT, 1,800. And so far, the affiliates is 4,200, which, by the way, last year, our total for the entire year, 12 months, was only 1,800. So we've already tripled our service to the affiliate stations with premiums.
But this amount is the amount billed, right?
That's the amount billed. If you multiply that number by 10%, you'll get the number that the stations have actually raised based on that premium.
But
does that make sense to everybody?
Multiply times 10%.
Right. In other words, take KPFA, $6,400 is what we billed them at $3 per CD. They pitched it at a higher amount. So you'd multiply it by 10%. They actually made $64,000 this year off of archives premium.
But that does not reveal what the cost to the archives or to Pacifica was.
That's correct.
To create each and mail out each one.
That's correct.
And when is the last time we raised the amount of charge to the
stations?
Yes.
I tried to raise it not this fund drive, but the fund drive before that. Let's see, we were in spring. Winter was before the spring. The winter fund drive, I talked to the GMs, and we tried to raise it to $5 per CD instead of $3 per CD. The reaction was not very good, because that means that the percentage price at the station changed. So this fund drive, we went back down to $3 per CD, because it just wasn't working for the staff at the stations. They weren't able to really pitch the premium at the cost that they ordinarily have been pitching the archives materials at. So I tried. Before then, it was $2 per CD in, 1999. I think I raised the price in 2001 to $3.
So you tried?
Brian, this is Jane.
You tried $5 for a while, right?
Yes, I tried $5 just for one fund drive. And although we did get orders, they weren't pitching the volume of materials that they had in the past.
Right. Okay.
And the duplication is done in-house?
The duplication is done in-house.
You know, while I'm sitting here listening to this, my immediate thought when this conversation began was that we're in competition with our five stations. And that's very troublesome to me, because the archives are our crown jewel, and we ought to all be putting them first, because without them, we've lost our grounder. And that makes no sense to me at all.
Well, I'm hoping that our premiums from our archives are really worth a lot better. I mean, worth more than a mug, worth more than, you know, that it's a good deal. And what we pay, even though we might be paying $5, is a better price than we would pay for a mug.
I want you to come into the meeting with the GMs and explain that, because I've
so
tried to pitch
wonderful.
That point that the it is worth more, because this really is the only place to get it. You know, we've been through that whole thing.
Well,
so I agree with it, but I think it's the staff members. Let's say, for instance, KPFK, like the producers of specific programs, are in the land of trying to raise a premium from 100 to 150. For the listener, and they didn't want to do that. They thought that they couldn't get the money, so they didn't try.
I'm sorry, who's that? I couldn't hear you.
Steve Brown. Steve? I'm not sure I really understood the whole premium breakdown. If somebody invests $100 over WBAI, let's say, during fundraising day, where does that $100 go? Forget about the cost of the premium for the moment. They're offering a package that came from the archives, and they offered for $100. Where does that money go?
To the station.
To the station.
Not to the archives.
No.
No.
Well,
corrections.
Just don't. But let's not have confusion. This is during a regular fund drive.
Right.
If it were during the fund drive days for the archive, that would not be true.
Okay, that's what I didn't understand.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. So all those numbers that I was giving you are for regular station premiums, fund drives.
And if this is Bonnie, just in sort of trying to look at this from all sides, and I think that we were starting to get to this, yes, philosophically we all agree that these things from the archive are invaluable, you know, that there isn't a way to go to a store and buy most of these things. However, for those of us who are on the air, there is a big jump in making the audience, the listeners, feel comfortable when we begin to jump prices on premiums. And as this, all of the stations have, you know, felt a little bit of what is a sort of documented drop a little bit in listener-sponsored support for radio in general, not just for our station. We are very, very cognizant of being careful not to try to be frivolous about it.
But let me ask you this. There's a formula that the stations use to figure out how much to charge for a premium.
Right.
And
yes.
I think it's 10%.
It's not more than 10%.
Right. It's a 10% rule.
Okay. So if the premium costs $5, then you charge $50 for it, correct? The
mm-hmm.
premium, it would be a $50 pledge gets you a tape, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So a three CD set would be $150.
Right.
Well, we're giving away CDs for $60. I know you can pledge $60 and get a CD. So that's
right.
Only 10%.
That was my argument with the stations as well, as if the 10% rule is in effect, then $5 should still fit within your range of your percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But still somehow they came back with it's still too much, because when it was $3 per CD, you have a three CD set that's $9.
That's
cost,
under $100.
That's $90 premium. They pitch it for $100.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they get the sort of like the extra little bonus
mm-hmm.
percentage. So now when I go to $5
mm-hmm.
times 3, it's 150. They don't want to go from 100 to 150 for a 3 CD set.
Well, why don't we... But if the CDs are only $3, then... And we're giving a CD away for a $60 pledge, then we're actually charging more than 10% profit.
Yes,
on those.
Exactly, which is why I'm wondering why they prefer, they're not open to increasing the price point, which
mm-hmm.
still fits within the range of their percentage formula. I can't tell you. I don't have the answer other than, you know, they just didn't pitch it. So we didn't get any orders and we didn't make any money. So what are you going to do?
In light of all this, doesn't it seem essential to figure out exactly what it costs to produce these tapes, these recordings?
You know
right,
what?
And therein lies a major rub, which Addie was alluding to, that it's incredibly difficult to gauge
but not
how much
impossible.
Labor and cost that goes into creating the premium.
But it's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly difficult. I mean... You know, it makes no sense how difficult it is, but I've been through this process a few times, and it really is. The various consultants and experts that we'd hired each time over the last,
10 years at least.
Yeah. To try to figure this out at each one of these points ended up not figuring it out for us. So it's just like... Yeah, but it's ridiculous. I don't know why, but it's very, very difficult to figure out.
Well, we start with the raw cost, and we can, you know, if you go outside
All these people have actually done that. They're smart people. They've actually done it step by step, and they haven't come up with the answer. So I don't know, you know.
Well, I guess, hear me out for a minute. If you go out and have a CD manufactured, say, 500 or 1,000, they cost about $1 a piece just to make a CD in a jewel case with a full color insert. So it should cost no more than that for the archives to do it on their own. I assume they have their own equipment. And
it might cost us actually more than that if you actually count what staff time is taken away from other tasks.
Then why don't you consider moving them outside and outsourcing it?
Is anybody else having trouble hearing Steve's phone?
Yes.
A little bit. Yes.
I can sort of get it. We do outsource some things that we know are cost-effective. The Malcolm X 6 CD set, which we know is popular enough to invest the money to outsource it. I think our bill for 100 copies of the 6 CD set, which is 600 CDs, is somewhere in the $6,000 range. I mean, it was a very expensive output to get the CDs back. But the Malcolm X is the only one that I will do that with because I know that that's evergreen that will make the money. But imagine me going and outsourcing, making a premium, and that we're very excited about in the archives. Worked a lot in research, a lot putting it together, mixing it, narrating it. We give it to the stations, and the stations choose not to pitch it because it doesn't fit somehow. I can't afford that. So...
The other thing you have to take into account is when you are talking about CDs with artwork costing a dollar, that is not until you get into thousands of copies for the price break.
Right. When we get to the outsourcing of Malcolm X, that's
you.
Why we order 600 or 1,000 copies.
When you're talking about making 50 copies, it is several times that.
So it's the artwork which is expensive?
It's both expensive. If you go to press a music CD, if you're only making 1,000, then it's going to cost you roughly $1.50 with artwork. Mm-hmm. But if you're making 5,000, you're going to lower that price point to $1. If you're making 100, it's going to cost you $4 a piece, $5 a piece.
Right. I think if I can get back to what I think the essence of Teresa's question is about, you know, how much money we make off of the premiums. You know, I think there is value in the premiums that we can distribute or disseminate it to the outside world outside of our five stations. And the, as I noted, the affiliate stations are really picking up the speed and the regularity of using the archives premiums because they have not been pitch to those audiences before ever. So I think that there is some value that we can increase some income for the archives using the premiums if we find some connection with, you know, other areas. Let's say for academia, we could send lists of premiums to, you know, institutional organizations and charge them.
Well, it's also very useful for you to work closely, just as you do closely with the stations, work closely with the affiliates so they know your full, package, full palette of offerings of premiums. Like KEOS in College Station has a Beatles show where they play Beatles music, and you had the interview of John Lennon,
right,
which I thought at the time would have been such a hit if you would have gotten on their air, which I don't think they took advantage of, and actually pitched it.
Right.
I mean, anybody that listened to that with regularity, I think, would have wanted to possess that premium. So
right.
It's important.
You know, that's, yeah.
And I think that's another thing that your time is precious, but I still think that the affiliates, especially some of the bigger ones, could use you to help pitch and help themselves raise greater amounts of money because you are superb at helping pitch, and I think that's maybe a service that somehow could be calculated into our income somehow.
Now, you guys, this might be way out there, and Brian, shut me up if you should, But that's something that you guys can really do, because it's very hard to have that kind of deep depth level information about a station, and only people who really, you know, work with stations and know them and are in their areas know that.
Right.
You know, kind of like, you know, on every third Thursday, there's this really great program that would really, really want a program on Jackson Pollock, you know. So it's sort of like, if you guys can really help with that kind of stuff, the thing is with just kind of across the board making the most number of people we can possibly come up with repetitively aware of the fact that we've got this kind of collection, is that when people ask for a program that's really not been reviewed or assessed yet, we really don't know things like if we own it or if the, you know, recording medium is all flaked off of the tape or not, you know. So people have to realize that if they're asking us for something, you know, kind of outside the pale, that it might really cost a lot of money to make it available to them. But
right.
On a one-to-one basis, on a hand-to-hand basis, on a person-to-station basis, we can do that.
Right. Let me let you know what we actually do, which every time we get a new affiliate, Sean, who's our administrative coordinator, sends a binder of CD samples and listings of the premiums that we have put together, I'd say, in the past. Well, they actually go back to 1996, the premium packages that we know have sold well. I have pitched live on 3 affiliate stations and did really well. Boulder, Colorado, Goddard College in Vermont, and I can't remember the third one. Might have been in Atlanta. I can't remember the third one. But anyway, I think that the more relationship
Ebon,
that we
did
have...
Did you do it with Ebon?
No. No, it couldn't have been Atlanta then. Oh, well, maybe it was just 2. Felt like 3. but, you know, it is much more successful for the stations when Mark Torres or myself go on the station with the affiliate station. Sean Dulles is good at, you know, once we sort of get connected with the development director or the program director as opposed to the general manager, then we can have the more in-depth conversation of, oh, you have a Grateful Dead show, we have this really great, you know, program that's, you know, of that genre. You know, why
and
don't we do...
built really enduring relationships? I mean,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so we're actually doing really, really well. It's just a matter of, you know, continuing. One of the pieces of information that we would like to have that we don't know that can help us is the, and this is in terms of our workload, of the, we know that the 5 Pacifica stations have staggered fundraising weeks, which means that our work is sort of duplicated week to week. You know, we do our list, we send it out, KPFK starts their fund drive, then 2 weeks later KPFA goes into fund drive and they call us and say, well, we saw that list, but what's new? Can you stop what you're doing and get us this for our theme? So we sort of have a problem a little bit with keeping up with the regularity of the 5 Pacifica station fund drives. We don't know if the affiliate station fund drives mimic our schedule on a yearly basis. Do they do 1 a year? Do they do 4 a year? Do they have the regular spring, winter, fall? So the more we know about when they go into fund drive and what their goal is helps inform us of what we can actually offer. I know the station, the one in the Catskills, WJFF.
Yeah.
I worked with them and did a presentation for them, and it helped raise money for them at a live event, which was really cool. We sort of split the event cover charge, where the station got some money and then the archives got some money. So it's just a program that needs further development, and the more data we know from the stations, the better we are at providing them with specific cool stuff.
Are you going to be at Grassroots Radio Conference?
No, we don't have the money.
Okay.
I want to go,
we
don't have the money.
Is someone going to
I'm going to Grassroots Radio Conference.
Great.
Do you want, why don't you call me tomorrow and talk about how I can specifically pitch some of the services of the archive? Unless we're losing money on each premium.
Because if we're losing money on each premium, then we don't want to sell them.
But there's another mission thing there.
We do want a big mission thing there.
Go ahead, Addie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just in terms of the affiliates, in terms of all those other stations, we'd like to be affiliates. Just, you know, when we all as producers, right, any of you, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, want to be talking to exactly those people. So I think that that's building an enduring relationship, and actually we don't really know if we're not hitting a, you know, a deep pockets loyal funder.
Right. I think in terms of, you know, in terms of the cost of the premium, one thing you have to know is that it was never intended for the archives to make money off of the stations. It's part of our services to the stations, which is supposedly paid for by Central Services, which is a longer discussion. But just sort of like theoretically, think of, you know, the stations own the archives serve the stations with premiums, and you get it for cost, right? It costs us $3 per CD to make it. The stations pay $3 per CD to make it. And that's sort of what the understanding was many years ago. The affiliate, in that formula, the affiliate stations were to pay double what the Pacifica stations paid, so that we actually did make money off of premiums to affiliates. When the affiliate program was restarted, and, you know, we wanted to build the relationship with the affiliates for the foundation, the archives decided to offer the affiliates the same price as the stations, meaning at cost, which means we make nothing. But I think what I wanted to do, one, to support the affiliate program, but also to get our programming on the air at the affiliate station so that we can increase our listenership, so that we can increase, you know, somebody from Atlanta calling in for a program, putting them on our mailing list so that we can promote our Fund Drive Day, or we can send them a letter sometime. And that was sort of the long-term investment in serving the affiliates as well as our stations.
Right.
So the more mailing list people we have, the better off that we are at independently fundraising. And we're sort of still gathering those names, and it has increased, but I would say it's not increased yet to the point where we can invest a lot of money in that promotion. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Good.
To some degree it does, but frankly, to all the affiliates that are people that are listening on this call, I'm wondering if we are losing money on making premiums, then we need to really reconsider what we are charging both affiliates and sister stations for premiums. I'm not trying to rip anybody off or profit from somebody.
Right.
You know, I want this to be mutually beneficial so that, you know, it's a very, you know, expeditious, you know.
Right. I think, you know, in my ideal world, I would love to have, like, the GM, the program director, and the development director of every station, like, in my room, seated down and tied to a chair and gagged, bound and gagged, so that I could talk to them.
And given chocolate cake.
Right, you give them chocolate cake with their eyes wide open. You know,
a video of that would make a fortune.
Right. Right, you know, and no disrespect, seriously. You know, what I really am saying is that the people, the individuals that we have to connect to convince them that that's the right decision to make, that we need them to buy into it. We need the program development directors and the staff to say, yes, Brian, and the Archives Committee, you're right. We should be paying you $5 instead of $3.
Well,
and we'll be happy to pitch it.
I think a good start would be to have Ursula Rudenberg on our next affiliates call. I just think
the archive
call. Or to have a question and answer.
Yeah, you know, the affiliates coordinator, I know that she's preparing a budget, and if I understand correct, am I correct in saying that about she made what profit last year? She made what affiliates program made $130,000 last year.
That is the income. That's not necessarily directly related to a single person.
Right, and she's trying to make a budget to figure out whether she's actually, what she's doing is in the red, or is it cost effective what she's doing? Are we charging
right.
the affiliates enough
right.
for the services that we offer them? You know, we are offering them some technical services. We pay for satellite. You know, we have email situations that she's trying to provide services to over 90 affiliates, and so are you. I'm trying to. I would think that maybe it might help for her to be in on this discussion to realize some of the issues that you have.
Yes. Actually, we've been in contact, and what I've been asking for quite some time is, you know, CFO, ED, affiliates and archives people meeting, so that we can talk about that. And I don't have the answer as to why that meeting hasn't happened. A lot of foundation crises that happen with it that pull the ED and the CFO in different directions, and it's not for the lack of trying, but we have not been able to have that meeting. I think that that discussion can happen with those four people and get some things resolved and get her information that she needs rather than on a committee meeting. Not to say that I'm not welcoming her.
So can
I don't think that this committee resolves that.
Can the committee enforce or support or promote or help that meeting happen?
That would be wonderful if you could.
Or is it hopeful? No.
Well, I know that the next Affiliates Task Force meeting is on Thursday the 10th. Mm-hmm. And
are you inviting me to come on to the Affiliates meeting?
Well, I'm wondering if I just need to get with Ursula and suggest that. Otherwise, perhaps we should get together with, and this is the director, perhaps any of the directors, maybe a meeting with the directors on the two committees, you, Ursula, Greg, and Lonnie. Or maybe if there were some more specific agenda, a smaller meeting.
Right. I'm definitely, you know, been more than supportive. I've been taking the initiative to try to get the meeting together, and anything that you guys can do to help that is great. I don't think that the information that has to be discussed is appropriate for a webcast, though.
That's true. I agree. The reason why I say this is because we're right here. We're talking about your report, and you're talking about going from a one-day fundraiser to a two-day fundraiser.
I know.
Which,
by the way, we're not that pleased about that, by the way.
Yeah, it's a big step. And everybody's saying we want less fundraising on the air,
right.
So I'm trying to think of how we can make some of the services that you offer more cost effective for you as well as everybody. So,
okay.
I'm going to see if we can maybe, is there anyone here specifically that would like to meet with maybe Bonnie. Maybe Bonnie and I.
I was just going to stick myself out there, if that's okay with everybody.
Bonnie.
I am happy to go next door and see if I can't move getting that meeting between you and Ursula and Lonnie and Greg moved along.
So the chairs of the two committees, Affiliates and Archives, and Lonnie and Greg and Brian, and we'll tell you what happens. How's that?
That sounds reasonable.
Sounds great.
That work
right.
for you guys?
Yes.
Good. I mean, anything to, do something rather than having a 2 days of fundraising.
Who's,
I mean, the other option
the
is to make our fundraiser much more, raise a lot more money in a short period of time.
Right.
Well, yeah, but that can't be guaranteed ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, we had a goal of a certain amount for a one-day fund drive. When we didn't meet the goal, we didn't get to extend. And nobody came up to say, let me pay you the difference.
What was the goal last year?
The goal last year was 180, and we did 136. And I think since then, I think we've increased it to 145.
For one day.
One, 135 or 140 for one day. that does not mean that we can duplicate that just by rebroadcasting it the next day, which is sort of what I'm trying to hammer into the numbers person. If we have to really look at the rhythm of fund driving, and Bonnie knows a lot more about that.
And
then,
Brian,
the development directors know more about that.
As opposed to local, too.
Right, right.
Last year's goal was 180K. This year we want to raise 145K per day.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So actually, your goal for the one-day fundraiser has increased significantly.
Yes.
Yes. We're scared, okay?
Yes. We don't
However,
like it any more than anybody else does.
Whether due to fear or enthusiasm,
right.
You guys are just about to embark on really getting down and brainstorming about what the absolute best thing to do with the time and figure out what that time should be. Should
correct,
it be
correct.
10 hours
a
day for 2 days? Should it be, you know, perhaps there is still definitely work to be done here.
Yes.
Right.
To know even
to be
what
done now.
You think. So,
right.
But, and as I understand it, you guys are going to really hunker down on those subjects very soon, right?
Yes. We'll be looking at the stuff that we've done over the past 4 years that were most successful and look at how it fits into, you know, the world at war, you know, what the listeners are really responding to. Also, you know, what materials that we've recently preserved that are worthy of broadcast, what fits into, you know, additional premiums that can increase a pledge. You know, if we have a recording of civil rights movement materials, then we can go get the civil rights book.
Right.
Let me ask you this. None of the affiliates participate in the archives fundraiser, correct?
That's correct. FCC regulations.
Okay. So it might make a difference if we could significantly increase the amount of money that's generated through affiliates.
Yes, actually what we're doing with the affiliates, and this is what we did, I guess, you know, after the last fund drive, we sort of worked on how can we increase the listenership of the one-day fund drive. You know, you have 1 day to do it in. How do you get as many listeners on the air as possible? You promote it as much as possible, as often as possible, and for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
To get more listeners outside of the range of the five listening areas was dealing with the affiliates. So
the
from the vault
can participate online.
Right. So what we're trying to do with the From the Vault series was to educate and introduce the archives to new audiences, just for the sake of it's a good idea. But also, when those people from the Midwest or Vermont or whatever call the archives or become a mailing list person, we can actually promote the fund drive to them outside of the on-air affiliate station. You know, we will be promoting the fund drive on the From the Vault series as we go closer to the day. We can promote our fund drive on affiliate stations. We just can't air it on the affiliate stations. So those people can participate online in a webcast, or they could, you know, listen online to the actual fund drive. So, you know, it was all part of a big plan. And it's working a little bit. You know, we do have, you know, increased listenership. And, by the way, the From the Vault series, we got, this is very, very exciting.
Nice.
The BBC Radio 4 in London, England, came to the From the Vault site and has requested the series to be broadcast on the BBC. For the summer, in answer to the BBC's request to let British audiences listen to American historic programming.
That is so cool.
Just so great.
Wow.
Yay. Congratulations.
Well, I hope you fix that Bertrand Russell.
That's the one that they requested.
That one?
Yeah. That's the one they liked.
No.
But I swear, in Houston, all of a sudden, it was very, very faint.
Right. I think we found what it was about, and I think that we sort of answered the question in this week's program by talking about sound quality and in our efforts to preserve and restore
materials.
I did hear it. You did.
I've yet to hear it. I cannot ever hear it, and I've tried to get online to, you know, download it. It won't let me do it.
Right, because we don't allow that yet. But the exciting news is that in this coming week...
I can't listen.
Well, just wait a minute, Melinda. The stations, we have asked them not to allow it for download on the website, on the station website. But the archives has built its own podcast stream download site, which will go live probably this week or next week. And we will be loading up all the From the Vault series so that you can listen to them online on demand.
That's fantastic.
Thank goodness, because I've been wanting to see it. I've been chomping at the bits.
Right. So in addition to the From the Vault series, that will be available podcasting and streaming. All the programs that were preserved through the grants, and this is over 240 programs, will be slowly but surely loaded onto the site. So when the grantors and the people that can give us bigger money to do the same thing, they'll be able to access an important part of the Preservation and Access Project, the accessibility to the audio via the web. So we really are taking quite a big leap in the next week or so, and that's been with the work of Mark Torres here in the archives, and Pete Caracas has done a lot of work in setting up that site for us.
Yay! Did anybody else have a chance to talk to folks on staff and find out if their your particular signal area station had run portions of From the Vault?
Let me just say, I did get a response from Steve Brown and from Bonnie. That's all I've actually heard from. And Teresa, from knowing that you guys listen.
And it's my understanding that we're basically, it's playing during the open journal, during the daytime when I'm at work.
And what day is that? Is that Friday?
I'm not sure. I've never been able to pin down a day because they don't put any information as to what plays in the different open journals. It's just no slot.
Okay. Well, thanks. That means I'll call Duane tomorrow.
Brian, do you want to talk about Pete Seeger for a while?
Sure.
Have we finished?
Are there more questions on From the Vault from anyone?
I want to finish the From the Vault. I want to know how many affiliates take From the Vault.
They are... It's sort of the same story with the stations. Only a few of them take it on a regular basis that it's actually on the schedule, but then there's a lot that take one or two episodes or have downloaded all the programs and are announcing that they're going to start programming, you know, in the next month. I'd say we go from anywhere from 4 to 14 stations depending upon the program. The Bertrand Russell, I think, was the most popular one with 14 stations.
Okay, so between 4 and 14 affiliates take the From the Vault program.
Right, and that's one of the things Sean is working with Ursula on currently is a survey, or what used to be called a carriage report, when the archives did the entire affiliate program. A carriage report is basically a survey asking the affiliate stations to confirm broadcast dates and times of particular programs so that we have information of how well our programs are being distributed. So that hasn't been done for the Vault series systematically. You know, we know of a few who've actually responded or let us know that they're broadcasting or planning to broadcast. And through NFCB, but we don't have any real hard data. So Sean is working with Ursula to get the new carriage report for the series together so that we can actually survey what's happening now and what is planning to happen with the next schedule change. You know how stations are. It takes time.
So the carriage, tell me one more time again. That's a little redundant. Tell me again. A carriage report is going to be done isn't a carriage report what we do for like some of our live coverage where we can tell which stations are listening in, or am I wrong?
That's what a carriage report means in the general sense. It means how many stations and who they were who took your program.
Right. Sometimes it happens live. Sometimes it doesn't. With pre-produced programming, it's a beg, borrow, and steal anybody who can tell you whether or not the program got on the air or not.
Right.
Right.
So Ursula is going to ask the affiliates. I remember somebody asking, I don't know if it was on the last affiliates, somebody said, ask the Pacifica stations which ones are taking from the vault.
Right.
Did you get the answer to that?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I asked you guys that.
Right.
So here's the information station by station. KPFT, as far as I know, it's aired weekly during an open journal. I think they take the hour version, not the half hour version. KPFK has aired one program and is not in a position to discuss the rest of it yet. That's just the way it is there. KPFA, we have some...
We've run three pieces.
Right.
Three either halves or more than halves of shows. And I did have a discussion with Dini about it, and we're going... And Amelia, in fairness, has been away on vacation and has just returned. So a little bit more time, and I think I would have some more information about it.
Right. I know Radio Chronicles is sort of like the space where the things
where
are
we
KPFA.
Try to put it, yeah.
WPFW, I've been told it's aired weekly, but not really, you know, I need to reconfirm. You know, is that every now and then? Is it regularly? Or
maybe Kalanchi can get the answer to that.
Kalanchi?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
To the best of my knowledge, it's weekly.
Okay.
Can you get a confirmation on that?
I'll get a confirmation and get it to you.
Oh, great.
Thanks.
Great.
Because we are getting ready to, you know, once we get this website up to where, you know, the wide audience out there, whether it's in England, very exciting, or locally, that's when we can take that leap into promotions and the press release and, you know, some serious promotions. I have not really wanted to do that, you know, one, because we didn't really even have the information of where we're going to promote it. I don't want to send a press release out to a newspaper where it's not broadcast, or where a journalist can't go on the website and listen to a program. So once we get this accessibility problem solved, it's taken 14 weeks, but we're getting there, then we can sort of take that leap into really promoting the series. So that information from the affiliates and our stations is very important.
So when will the carriage reports, when will you have the carriage reports, and what time frame are from Ursula on the affiliates? When are you expecting that from her?
I'm expecting Sean and Ursula to talk sometime this week, and then Sean will get it together to email and follow up with phone calls to the program directors of the affiliate stations on that carriage report. Just so you know, that historically carriage reports usually get a 70, on a good day, gets a 70% response.
Okay.
In other words, it's very hard to find out from your stations who airs your program.
Right.
No matter what program it is.
Really hard.
Maybe I could improve that when I go to Grassroots Radio Conference.
Yes.
If I literally ask them, when I meet program directors, ask them who's covering it.
That's a great idea. And
that's great.
You could be promoting it. You could be promoting it for people who aren't playing it. That's beautiful.
The station in West Virginia just informed me a couple weeks ago that they've been downloading the programs weekly, but haven't aired any of them, but they're going to start it on as a weekly, hourly series in the fall or summer. So there's a lot of stations that sort of have banked the library, which I think is smart. You know, I like that they have 13 episodes that they can actually have in their hands so they don't have to, you know, wait for something to go wrong if a program doesn't get there that week, you know. And these are intended to be evergreen anyway, so it's a good thing.
How far in advance do the affiliates or the sister stations know what the subject is so they can do a PSA? They can tell programmers who will say, hey, listen in here, Bertrand Russell, you know, next week,
right.
next Tuesday or whatever.
Right. Well, we gave the stations generic promos that they can add the, this week we're focusing on the Bertrand Russell, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we say all the stuff, and then there's music that's blank, and then that's when the board op can read the this week. The information goes on the From the Vault website on Thursdays, and we send out the information to the affiliates on a Friday. Whatever their broadcast schedule is, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's airing it on the Friday that it's uploaded to the site, or if they wait a week or not. I have no idea.